It just brings you like to that mountaintop, and somehow you see clear, or you see further at least. You see the kingdom, and it's so easy in our daily life. We are busy working, doing things, and we are so easily finding ourselves like in the bushes walking. If you want to climb a mountain and you walk through the bushes, you see nothing. And all you have is the direction, maybe with the sun or a compass, and you keep on going. But when you get to the mountaintop or near the mountaintop, no more trees, suddenly you get the view. And that's what it is. You know, we come together, and spiritually speaking, we come to a mountaintop. And God wants to give revelation, understanding, encouragement, and direction for us. And we need that so much, you know. And every time, like when I come for a prayer meeting or healing room or here with the church, I feel that again. It's clear again. I have enthusiasm to believe God for what He promised, to be faithful to Him. I feel energized and strengthened. And then in the daily life, sometimes we feel so often weak and we need each other to we need the Word, we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. So we want to, today I like to read or look at Ephesians 1. And in Ephesians 1, the second half of that chapter is an amazing prayer. And if you want to enrich your prayer life, find those prayers that Paul and other writers of the Bible prayed. And for me, I almost memorized that prayer because it's so deep. And the best way to get a yes to the prayers you're asking is when you pray in line with the Scriptures. When you pray out of the heart of God, you pray in line with His promises. And because then all His promises, the Bible says, are yes and amen. Right? And so let's just start reading in Ephesians 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Peace, nothing, that's the Hebrew word shalom is in there. Peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, right? So, firstly, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And so it's only by our union with Christ Jesus, only our connecting with Jesus that actually enables us to receive the heavenly blessings. And I was thinking, what are those heavenly blessings? And Jesus, of course, when He walked the earth, He had those spiritual blessings, right? And he walked around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. And he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And the word Christ, I was pausing for a moment. You know, we are united with Christ. Christ in the Greek text, it's the anointing, the anointed one and His anointing. And when you anoint something, like when you had maybe pancake this morning and you poured the syrup over top of it and you smeared it all over, you know, that's the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit, the power of God coming on Jesus, the anointed one, and His anointing. And Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And so Jesus actually makes the statement that the same way the Father has sent me, so I send you. It's mind-boggling, right? And so that's why we need those mountaintop experiences so we see things clearly again. Because it's so easy that we see our life in light of our circumstances and that our thinking is shaped by what's going on around us. And like, again, that picture of climbing a mountain and you walk through an avalanche chute with alders all around and you climb through the bushes, you get scratched. And it's so easy to get discouraged. And so we need to renew our mind and learn to think the way God thinks and have the eternal perspective. Life is short in the light of eternity. It could be compared to 9 months in a mother's womb. and then the life comes. But it's even way more because we are eternal beings. We live forever. And so Jesus here, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So whatever we need to fulfill the call God has put on our life, we are blessed with spiritual blessings. We can receive it. We can call it in. And as the Father has sent Jesus, so he sends us. Jesus had access to all those blessings, right? And so we want to find out what is it that it is. So verse 4 and 5, I want to read on. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And you see here the eternal perspective. Even before God created heaven and earth, he already chose you. He already called you for greatness. He called you to take the place to live in this day and age, to be a witness of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. That's the good news, that Jesus, he won the victory over sin, hell, and the grave. He won the victory, and now he lives inside of us. And it's not by, you don't have to muster up your faith to overcome the obstacles in life. You can live by the faith of Jesus Christ. By connecting with him, you can overcome whatever comes your way. So Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God loves us, and he is pleased with us because we have accepted Jesus. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we struggle. We may have a lot of things that could be better, but he sees past our mistakes. He sees the eternal picture, and he is inviting us to come to that mountaintop and see a little bit further, that we know we are adopted, that we know we are loved. In John 15:16, if I could just blend in, there Jesus made a promise, and there he says, "You did not choose me." Thank you, Linda. You're doing a great job. You did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. And the context here is in prayer. The fruit he talks about is answers to prayer. And now he goes on, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. And see, when he says using my name, if I send somebody, let's say to Ron, a worker, and he is to pick up some material, building materials in my name, he cannot go and buy his kids some toy in the swimming pool. No, because he's going in my name, he's commissioned to go get what he knows that I want him to get, right? And I think that's a picture of praying in the name of Jesus. We pray in line with who he is, in line with what he showed us. And who is he? Is he the provider? Do you need provision to do what God has called you to do? Then you can ask for provision because he is the provider. Do you need encouragement? He is the encourager. Do you need protection? He is the protector. There's many names, like 20 names of God. And one of them is the healer. So if you ask in line with who he is, all his promises are yes and amen. Let's read it again, the last part. So that the Father will give you whatever you ask for in line of who he is. Ephesians 1, 6 to 8, let's read on. We praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with his kindness. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So he already gave us the wisdom and understanding. And what we need to do, what's our job, is to connect with him daily. We need to connect with him so we walk in his wisdom, so we walk with a renewed mind, so the enemy cannot lie to us and make us think and believe different than the way God wants us to believe. You are an overcomer. You are. There is no weapon in Isaiah, I think it says, there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. We are more than overcomers through Christ who strengthens us. And because our sins are abolished or destroyed, removed. You know, our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Anybody has a number? You know, when you go to Hawaii, if you go west, and then in Hawaii you go west and you end up in Japan, and then you go west and you end up in China, and then you go west and you're in Europe, and you go west and you're back in Canada. See, east and west never meet. It's infinite. And that's how far he removed our transgressions from us. Why? Because he wants us to be like Jesus. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so I send you. And see, that's why we can come to the throne of grace. That's why we can, even if we fail, we can come to God and say, God, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. And we can walk right into his presence confident and receive grace and receive forgiveness and receive solutions for our problems. We can confidently come to him and receive whatever we need to do what God has called us to do. We can expect God to answer our prayers because, remember, he answered the prayers of Jesus because Jesus was sinless. And that's why he provided us with that opportunity to accept Jesus, and then we can be sinless. Not that we never could sin, we can do wrong, but we are washed and cleansed, and through the blood of Jesus we go to him. God wants us to have impossible dreams because of it. Dreams that only with his help and with his divine intervention can be fulfilled. It's good to pray for the daily bread. It's good to pray for things that we know will be answered. But there is also prayers we should pray that we know out, that come out of the heart of God that really look impossible. Let's say if we pray for the government and we are praying for a godly government. We are praying that everything would be right, that justice would reign, that it wouldn't be just about rules and laws and interpretation and having a good lawyer and lots of money, but it would be about justice in court. Right? We pray for that and we labor for that. And some of that we may never see. We keep on praying and calling it in, and we may not see it. But all our prayers will not, none of our prayers will ever be wasted. If we die and some of our praying has not been fully fulfilled, we have created a momentum for the next generation. And so we need to have prayers that are bigger than our life. We have to think generationally. It always, every change starts in heaven, and we are here to call in the kingdom of God, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The increase of his government will have no end. And so we want to think big. We want to have big prayers, and we want to see the big pictures. Some of my prayers, you know, it's good when we want to see answers to prayers, right? And it's so encouraging when we pray. And you know, a few weeks ago, we prayed for rain because it already started to get dry. And we said, you know, let's start early. Let's pray for rain. And then 10 days ago, we got a good soaking. And I liked, Bruce, when you prayed this morning again. And I agree with you, and we want to agree together. In the next few weeks, another good soaking for this area. We don't want it to dry up and be... You know, God wants to... If you look at the nation of Israel, God wanted the nation to be blessed, to have the rain in season, right? And so we want to pray for things. But my devotion to the things of God is not based on the entertainment value of answered prayers. Even though it is good to see prayers answered, but we pray because we understood the will of God. And we start to pray into that, and we start to labor for that, and we start to call it in. And if some of our prayers will not be answered till the next or in few generations, That's okay. Surrendering to God means it's like a form. And you sign the bottom of the form and then he fills in the blanks after. That's surrender. We don't hold God accountable. We look for his will and we start calling it in. We want to pray what his will is. And then we call it in, we prophesy, we speak it into existence. As the Father has sent Jesus, so he is sending us. See, plan A is believe you receive when you pray. Because you are righteous, because you are forgiven, because of the blood of Jesus, when you pray, you believe you receive it right then. If it feels nothing happens, plan B would be, you keep on praying. And there is no plan C. See, it is by faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. And so I think it says today is the day of salvation, right? And so whenever there is a need, you pray today. And if it doesn't happen, tomorrow will be today is the day of salvation. So I want to encourage you to look at God and look at his word. Take his promises and call it in. And if you don't see it, maybe the next generation will. But I know sooner or later we will see everything fulfilled. The last enemy that will be under our feet is death itself. That's what Jesus promised. That's the body. See, we are the body of Christ. See, Jesus, he overcome, he has the victory, and we are his body. Everything is under his feet. He has given us his authority. In his name we go, and we preach this good news. And delay in prayer develops character. It's not bad. You know, even the setbacks, when we look, you know, in the church, in our life, we have setbacks, we are discouraged at times, we haven't seen things. It develops character and perseverance. And we keep on praying and we keep on believing because we believe God's word. We don't believe the circumstances. He will fill in the blanks. We don't have to know and understand everything. We walk by faith and not by sight. Character is the container that holds the answer to answer prayers. And so as we persevere, our character is built. Ephesians 1, 9 to 10, let's read on now. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan: at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. See, God's plan is to connect everything that's disconnected, everything that's disjointed and not in order. He wants to bring divine order. And see, we have a need to connect. If you think of a person, let's say we all probably know somebody that used to come to church, they got offended, they leave, they stopped connecting with the body of Christ. And when you look at their life, they are connecting. You suddenly see bitterness and resentment, and you know, because you there is that need to connect. You either connect with the promise of God, with the life of Jesus, or you connect with the lies of the enemy. There is no way not to connect, right? And so today, and that's why we are coming here, that's why we read the Bible, so we get the plumb line, we focus to God, our compass, and we want to connect with Jesus. We want to connect with his word. We want to connect with his ways. And we connect with each other because we are the body of Christ. You cannot connect with Jesus and not be connected to the body of Christ. It's a paradox. It doesn't work. Like, if you're connected to Jesus, you're connected to the body. There is no, you know. And we all are different. We don't dress the same. We don't act the same. That's good. You know, we even have a little, quite a lot of different theologies, right? And we endure each other at times. But you know, with enough love, it's actually not that hard, right? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. It's quite easy. And, you know, I, A few weeks ago in Switzerland, I had 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I had some friends that they suffer on MS, multiple sclerosis or whatever, MS, you know, and it's a terrible disease. And what it does, the white blood cells, they start eating the walls of this of the nerve end, the nerve walls, and it causes enormous pain. And the white blood cells, when you think of it, they are there to protect, to keep poisons out of our body, to attack any intrusions in the body and to remove it. And so for 5 weeks, I had a supernatural grace to just pray for those friends. And like many times a day, I felt it was from God. And I also studied a little bit. And then when I prepared this message, and I thought about the body of Christ, that we are his body. Like it's, I think later on, I don't think I'm going to go through the whole chapter, the prayer later on, maybe another time. But we are his body, right? And I was thinking about multiple sclerosis, MS, right? That there is a spiritual MS in the body of Christ. That we get on each other's nerve. See, we all have a gift. And we need each other. And somehow, instead of using that gift to remove what's maybe poison, what's bad, right? We bicker, we charge, no, they are not spiritual enough for me. They believe different. There's too much unbelief. And so instead of strengthening each other, we are starting to undermine and causing pain. And it's deadly. And I just see, you know, and in this church, I really felt the Lord in the last few years. I felt there's such a grace released. That even though we are from so many backgrounds, from different churches and theology background, we all believe in Jesus, but there's big differences in our belief system in some ways. But we somehow learn to love and learn to find the gift in each other. And that is beautiful. And in one of the psalms, it says how precious is when brothers and sisters are together in unity. That's where the anointing oil is released. The Holy Spirit, the yoke-destroying, bondage-removing power of God. And I sense that's what God is doing here today again. You know, just to affirm us that we will not attack each other. And we will also not attack, like, because in some churches you see as well, there is this spiritual MS where whatever is in the broader body of Christ is attacked. Certain type of music, certain movements, certain giftings are attacked and undermined. And it's like spiritual MS. The things that are there to actually bring strength and grace and healing to the body are undermined and rejected, and it brings a lot of pain. And so with God's grace, we want to just receive what God has. For, you know, like one preacher said it, like, just when a cow eats the grass and there is sticks in the hay, just eat the grass and leave the sticks behind. You know, there's always, we will find stuff that's maybe questionable in your belief system or in mine or in our actions. And we need to, love covers a multitude of sin. And let's move forward. Let's preach this gospel. Let's declare that Jesus is Lord. Let's stay focused on what is sure. That Jesus, he paid for our sins. We are made righteous. And through Jesus, we can do whatever we are called to do. And his grace will be stronger and stronger. And I just want to pray as I close. And Father God, I just thank you for your people here. You have redeemed us by the blood of Jesus. And Father, for each individual in here, you would have gladly laid down your life just for one of us. You loved us so much. And I ask, Father God, that your grace would be released in a fresh way. And Father, we all are in a different place, battling or facing different obstacles and opportunities. And I just pray, God, that you give us courage. I ask, Father, that you give us, that you enlighten our understanding, like the prayer goes later on in that chapter. That you give us understanding, Lord. That we would know and be filled with the knowledge of your will. That we would pray without wavering because we have understood your heart. That we would pray and know that your promises, they are yes and amen, God, and that we would not give up. And that we would support each other, Lord. That we would not lay burdens on each other, but that we would undergird each other. That we would strengthen one another, Lord God. That we would pray for each other. That we would lay down our life for each other, God. I just pray, Father, that you just pour your love on each one of us, on this congregation, Lord. You love us, and Lord, I just want to release that love over each one of us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.